Welcome to Global Leader Radio, sponsored by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, discussing ideas that matter with people who care. Now here's your host, Director of Business Development and Instructor of Management for the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University, Alvin Miles.
Well, happy Tuesday and welcome to another edition of Global Leader Radio, the show with a particular focus on those individuals and organizations doing an exceptional job of identifying, attracting, developing, and retaining high potential talent. So the purpose of our show is to engage in conversations that highlight our guests, educate our learning community, and add value to all who seek to optimize their learning acumen. And today we've got a couple of great guests. So we will be discussing innovation, empowerment, and results with two gentlemen focused on bringing ideas to life. So with that overview, we welcome today's guests, Peter Pasternak and Philip Boykin. So Peter is a CPA and a bottom-line businessman specializing in real estate. Peter started his career at Price Waterhouse and was a commercial banker for 20 years. And his company is featured on A&E's Flip This House. So he builds, designs, and renovates residential and commercial property. And Philip Boykin is our second guest, and he's a businessman who is an expert at brainstorming. My word. The creative, the revenue-producing, big-scale efforts, which he brands under his creative umbrella, then develops strategic partnerships to bring those ideas to life. So, Philip and Peter, welcome to Global Leader Radio.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us.
So, Peter, if you don't mind, we'll start with you. So how are you today, sir?
Awesome. Any day that ends in Y is an opportunity to do something great.
And we don't miss very many days like that, right? So for the benefit of our listeners, please tell us about Peter Pasternak, starting with your original birthplace, home, a bit about your work experience, and take us up to the present.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in West Hartford, Connecticut. At the age of 18, I came down to Georgia. Went to school at the University of Georgia and did my undergraduate and master's work there. I always say I was at Georgia at the best time. I was there during the Herschel Walker years when we won the national championship.
My goodness.
I was actually at the game in the student rows, couldn't see much, but I had the experience of being there. And so what was great about Georgia was by staying that extra year, like I said, I was there in their five-year accounting program, graduated with my undergrad and master's in accounting. And I always, as a little kid, wanted to be a CPA that went to work at Price Waterhouse. And lo and behold, I ended up going to work for Price Waterhouse and did that for a couple years. Wasn't exactly what I thought it could be. And I always am telling people, you might want to try some internships or something, because what you think something is in the everyday life is a little bit different.
Interesting.
After that, I got into the world of banking. I was a commercial banker for 20 years. And it was, you know, that is such a great background. I got to be involved with lending money to people, being in loan committee. I always tell people that it's, you'd be surprised the things that we talk about loan committee to figure out whether you're getting your loan or not. Hmm. And I financed over 500 companies. And so it was a wide range. In 2004, as the environment changed and banking became really a lot more cookie cutter, a lot more regulated, I got in touch with my entrepreneurial side. My dad owned a Dunkin' Donuts and restaurant in Connecticut.
Nice.
And at the time, I actually went to a printing company client of mine and about 100 employees. After about 6 months, I bought into it. And about the next year, I started and ran six other companies. And in 2005, my current business partner and best friend, Brian Trow, who was on the show with me, he was my personal trainer in Dunwoody. And I said to him one day, Brian, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he said he wanted to do real estate. And so I really knew nothing about real estate. But what I knew was there are certain good business practices that you need in order to make money. And I saw how people lost money. Brian and I started our company. Brian's the right brain, very creative. I'm the left brain. And even though people see me as being out there and networking and loving people, I'm a very process-oriented CPA and very anal retentive. And so people are very surprised. I love running a company. And within a year, we ended up on national television on Flip This House. Our shows, there were five episodes that year in Atlanta. Four were our houses. We were shown as investors. And at the end of that year, the network came to me and said they want me to be the lead character. They love the interaction of Brian and I, left brain, right brain, the way we kind of looked at things differently and yet came at the end at a much better place.
Interesting.
So started Brian and I started that in 2005. Continue to do it today. We're licensed general contractors. Due to the television exposure, I get the ability of going to a lot of the real estate offices here in town, talking about the information realtors need in order to have credibility with investors. Also, to have a new presentation that deals with low inventory. I would say 4 years ago, we see those signs, 115,000, 120,000 homes available.
Right.
Now you see signs, it's 30,000. So how do realtors make money in today's market? And so I enjoy talking about that. And then about 2.5 years ago, Brian and I started a monthly real estate networking event called Real Estate Connections that brings together positive, like-minded people in the real estate world.
Well, great. We're going to definitely be talking about that because you've got a big event coming up on February the 7th, I see.
Yep, the first Thursday of every month.
First Thursday of every month. Great. And so how does Foundations Design LLC fall into that?
Foundations, we are our company is licensed general contractors.
Okay.
And really, my two biggest source of referrals are from realtors who have clients and trying to figure out whether they're investors or buying their homes with low inventory that need renovations. But secondly, the banks, a lot of them have renovation loan products. And people don't realize at times that they could buy these fixer-uppers. They don't need the cash. There's loan products that put the money that you need to renovate in escrow. But in order to be on the approved list for the banks, you've got to show that you're licensed, a whole list of things. And so we're on the approved vendor list, so it's great when I interact with the banks and finance companies because by being on their approved list, I'm able to get business through Foundations Design.
Ah, gotcha. So we do know from your bio that obviously you began your career at Price Waterhouse and then you spent 20 years of your life doing that. So what was the thought process in moving from one career there, and you're obviously still a CPA, and doing what you're doing today?
You know, the backbone of business is business and accounting. You got to know if you're making money or losing money. I don't believe in hobbies. Hobbies are for fun. I always say my favorite color is green, cash green. And so I've learned how to make money. The nice part about it is after doing it for other people, when you're entrepreneur, the risk reward, it's great to be able to have that, take all the things that I learned and now be able to do it for my own company and reap the benefits.
Which is really the powerful part. So, you know, your bio also says that you're a bottom line businessman. And so I would assume that you've chosen those words very carefully, certainly with your CPA background. Is bottom line referring to the bottom line of a ledger or?
It's really, it has to do with a ledger. And, you know, if you ever take these classes on personalities, I'm a high D. And so I don't like a lot of fluff. You're going to talk to me. Bottom line, what it is, let's get to it fixed. And so I don't have – being an entrepreneur, my time is valuable, and I'm out doing so many things. And so I'm not – I don't want to hear all of the extracurricular things. Bottom line, let's make a decision. Let's make some money. And, you know, my saying is – world building continues. Chop, chop, people. So let's get to it.
Let's move on. So when you look back on your career, obviously you're doing what you plan to do, right?
Well, I always knew I was going to make money. Now, okay. The only thing that's changed is the vehicle of how I'm doing
that. I see. So have your career choices always lined up with your passions?
You know, it really has, and it's interesting because I get to mentor a lot of young individuals and a lot that are in college. And what I tell them is you have to be open. Because if somebody had told me back in school what I would be doing, I had no idea. I knew I wanted to make money. I knew I wanted to do something that I was passionate about. But I never knew it was going to be in the real estate world. And so stay open. You don't know what the possibilities are. Keep putting yourself out there. Meet people. The more people you meet, the more doors that can open for you.
And the other piece I've noticed, too, is your focus on education. So certainly you talked about your undergrad years at UGA. But certainly that education has served you well.
It has. And, you know, it's interesting because I am in the over 50, although that's when people are supposed to say you don't look it. But this is what I can tell you. A lot of people my age don't embrace social media marketing business today in marketing is very different than what I learned in school. And so if you don't have an openness to learn and look at where the opportunities are, you're going to leave yourself behind. And so I think that's a real key, is not being afraid, putting yourself out there. You have to keep learning because you never get to the finish line.
So, Peter, if you don't mind taking a moment and bragging on your team, is it only you and your partner, or are there more behind the scenes?
It's really the two of us. Now, okay. We have a lot of subs and a lot of people we use all the time, but the creative source, not only through real estate connections and for foundations, is Brian and myself.
Okay, well, we'll hit the pause button slightly with Peter and pivot toward Philip Boykin. Philip Boykin is the creative director for Shark Branding, and personal friend of mine. I've enjoyed being able to get to know Philip a little bit more as we've moved along, and I think we met each other last year, right?
Yes, we met at the Damon John event where he spoke at Kennesaw State University. He was invited out by one of the board members out at the business school, and that's where we had the opportunity to first meet.
Well, good. So tell us a little bit about you. How are you today?
I'm good. After listening to everything Peter has accomplished, then, you know, that's pretty tough act to follow here. So I'm going to try my best to live up to the standard here.
Well, we'll just talk about you. So tell us a little bit about Philip Boykin and what you're involved in as the creative director and as a creative, if that is a term.
Yes, absolutely. You know, growing up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, going to school in Memphis, I'm a Southern boy. When I left college, I actually didn't know what I wanted to do. So I spent a couple of years kind of wandering until I found finance. Ended up in the finance field, spent some time on Wall Street, and that's kind of where I picked up on my creativity. Being able to, you know, look at all of these different scenarios in finance, put them together, solve the puzzle, and get people financed. And from there, you know, we had a market collapse back in the mid-2000s, late 2000s, and I decided I didn't want to do finance anymore. So I got into the marketing and sports field and, you know, started to understand that there is a lot of there's translation from finance to marketing in that whole creative space. And so when I think about being a creative director or being a creative, I say that everyone has that within them. It's just putting together pieces of puzzles. There's nothing new under the sun. Everybody's heard that saying before. It's just all about how you put it together that makes it new. So in my job as a creative, I take all of these different pieces to puzzles, and I put them together in interesting ways. So that's been able to afford me to, you know, work with companies from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to Expedia.com to Global Soap Project, in which you sit on the board for. Yeah. So, you know, I love being a creative, but we can all be starving artists. So the extra part of that job is to how to monetize that creativity.
There we go.
So just like Peter, what's the bottom line here?
chop, chop.
Yeah, chop, chop. So I do my best to look at situations, be creative with those situations, but also how do we monetize those situations? So, you know, I get with one of the more creative mind, not only me, but other people on our team, onto how to monetize and how to be successful in the business world. So,
because other than that, it's just a hobby, as Peter pointed out before, right?
Yeah.
And we're not here for hobbies.
Yeah, we're not here for hobbies. They don't, you know, most hobbies don't necessarily feed us. So I got got some people that I need to feed. So
so if we back up a bit, Philip, what is Shark Branding and kind of what's its vision?
Shark Branding is an agency, and, you know, there are a lot of marketing agencies out there that try to get their – that do a very successful job at getting products in front of consumers.
Okay.
Shark Branding is an agency that focuses on the branding portion of marketing, and how do you make your brand a lifestyle? You know – you may not have ever owned FUBU, Alvin or Peter, or maybe you have.
Maybe, I have.
Maybe you have the matching short set. Yeah. I don't know. But I think that everyone, 90% or more of the American population that's over 30 has probably heard of the brand. And so when you have that type of market penetration, such as Coca-Cola with and Tide and all of these brands, they become lifestyles. Mm-hmm. So what we try to do is make your brand a lifestyle. And so that's Damon's focus. That's what he's known for. And that's really kind of what we pick up on as representatives of the company. When we work with clients, we try to make that client's brand a lifestyle. Okay. We represent artists from Cyndi Lauper to Idris Elba to Pitbull to Kim and Khloe Kardashian to new brands like Shopify. Mm-hmm. And Global Soap Project. Right. So we work with a whole variety of individuals and corporations and do our best to help make that brand more identifiable in the marketplace. And then hopefully we can transcend that brand into a lifestyle. So,
okay. Well, I'm kind of curious. How does one become a creative director? I mean, that's not a job title that just sits out there looking for somebody to fill it, right?
No, it's not. You know, I've always considered myself a creative, and I've always had all of these ideas.
And you consider that as a noun. So that's a noun, right? And you just say, yes. Okay, it's going to be me, and I'm going to, and the creative portion of what I do is the verb, right?
Right. Correct. Okay. Correct. And so I just kind of stumbled into it. I knew that I had the talent. I knew that I could make money. You know, creating things. Mm-hmm. And so it's just something that you work yourself into. You know, he's a CPA that's now a real estate
magnate.
Mogul.
Yeah, that's right.
And TV star and whatever else he's sitting here doing. So it's not something necessarily I said I wanted to grow up doing.
Okay.
But now that I'm here, It's a beautiful thing, and I wouldn't do anything else, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, because I'm looking at Peter's profile as well, and of course, Peter, you certainly are a creative that is on the CPA side, but you don't have to convince anybody to hire you. So you're already there, right?
Well, it does help having television exposure. Yeah. And so what I always say is when I got on TV, I didn't get on TV to be on TV. I wanted it with the thought process of marketing my company and who we are. And so when we are out there and bidding on jobs, people have seen our work, and there's nothing better than that visual to be able to see who we are. And for a lot of people, the risk in their real estate renovation or development is the builder and contractor.
Right.
And so people feel they know you. They see you on TV. They only see you for 45 minutes a week, but they feel they know you. And so we've used that to our advantage so that if it can get me the front door, I know the quality of work that we do. And so once I get the chance, I know we're going to close it.
Ah, interesting. And so coming back over to you, Philip, when you, does one brand himself as a creative? Kind of, how does that work? I mean,
I think that you have to.
Okay.
So I was in a meeting one day and someone said, you know, if you didn't wear your Converse All-Stars every day, then, you know, I wouldn't take you as a serious creative. And so I've started to brand myself with little things like that. And, you know, funky, quirky shirts, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. It just gives you that validity. But then once you're in the door, then you prove yourself with the talent.
So you've got to produce.
Yeah, so you've got to produce. But I think that you do. I think that you find a way to get in the door or initially set yourself apart from the other person. Mm-hmm. And then when you're there, you start to separate.
Okay. Yeah, because the pack starts to thin out a little bit the higher you go, right?
Right.
So
competition gets a little stiffer, though.
Yeah, because it's only the best are left, right? It's almost like the Super Bowl.
Right.
Two pretty good teams.
Right.
So how does your what does your ideal Shark branding client tend to look like?
You know,
or is there an ideal profile?
I wouldn't say that there is an ideal profile for me, because I have such a wide array of knowledge, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, I can deal on the finance side or I can deal in the entertainment side.
Okay.
And just because of my background, it just helps me. So like I said, I'm working on a TV show over here, but then I am working you know, with a nonprofit organization over here, mm-hmm. doing something totally different.
Okay.
But what you find is that in business, those skills tend to overlap. You know, you can use a skill set from this arena and then move it over here to this arena.
Okay.
You know, and they may overlap 25 to 50%. The other, you know, you get help on.
Right.
And that's part of, I guess, with leadership. You know, what you don't know, then you get someone around you that does know. Mm-hmm. And then you can make your decisions, you know, based on that accumulated or that aggregated, I should say, knowledge pool.
And actually, in the open, what I did was I described you as one person that develops strategic partnerships. So is that mm-hmm. what you meant?
Yeah, that is the key for me.
Okay.
With anything that I create, and I say to anyone that's looking to create, whether your title is creative director or managing partner or whatever, is to always find who your best allies will be, whether it's within the organization or outside of the organization. For me, working with Global Soap Project, you know, they take recycled soap and distribute it all over the world to impoverished communities. I said, who is the best partner for this nonprofit? And for me, I thought, hey, that would be Expedia.com. For my TV show, you know, I'm looking to do a music television show. I said, man, I've never done a television show before, so who would be my best partner in this television show that will really get me in the door for someone to listen?
Right.
I said, I know some people at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's build that alliance.
Okay.
So for me, it's always about who's my best partner. Whenever I create something or I envision something, I put it down on paper, and then my next step is always to find who's going to be my strongest ally.
To help you connect the dots.
To help me connect the dots. And once I have that ally on board, once I've showed them the benefits for them, because I'm always empathetic in my thinking. Mm-hmm. Once I show them what their benefits are and they say they agree, then it's easier for me to get other partners on board. So I love partnerships in whatever I do.
Yeah, and you tend to deal with some pretty big names when it comes to partnerships, too. I mean, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you said that pretty quickly, and it rolled off your lips as though it's not that much to it. But that is a big deal, right?
I guess when you step back and you look at it, yeah, it's a big deal. But I'm a bit naive when it comes to picking up the phone. So that helps, you know, because if I think about it, then I start to think, wow, this is a big deal. It's going to be too big for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I never think about it that way. I say I'm going after the strongest partners possible, and if that's the president of the United States, and I think I can get to him, then I'm going to try to pick up the phone and get to him. So, you know, I never look at it as, you know, it's too big for me, but, you know, I need to get the strongest ally to give us the best shot to make it a reality.
Good point. So, Peter, I noticed you were nodding your head up and down. So any parallels in what you do?
Well, I think one of the things that's important is the building of a team. And as a leader, especially, you know, when I'm dealing with the younger people and talking, educating, I think you have to understand what your part is. And as a leader, you've got to look at it like, all right, you're the quarterback. Who are the people on this team, and what position are they going to play? We all have our own strengths, and we have our own weaknesses. And it's very important that you align yourself with your partners or your team members that are going to complement, so at the end, everybody's clear on what the vision is and also what the prize is. Brian and I are lucky because our skill sets are very, very different. And to be honest, we didn't know that when we began this. We began as friends and just wanted to make money, but it became very clear that one of our strengths is that we are so different. So, for example, when we go out and meet with people, a lot of times the wife bonds with Brian because she's talking about the kitchen and the renovation needs to be beautiful. And the husband bonds with me. He's like, my budget is this and we're not going over that. And so, you know, I get that. Brian gets his part and we kind of laugh, but, you know, people are more comfortable when there's somebody that they can
relate to.
Right. And then the other thing that you said, which I agree with, is you always want people that compliment the stuff you don't know. But we all know our biggest growth is when you put yourself out there and the stuff you learn you didn't know that you didn't know. right? That's the key is the more you put yourself out to other people and you do this thing called life, that's when you start realizing some of these other things and become aware, and that's where your biggest growth is.
Well, and I do know that I want to make sure our listeners understand we're talking to Peter Pasternak and Philip Boykin, and so the third voice you hear is mine, but there's a fourth person in the room as well, and I want to recognize our producer, Kevin Finn.
Hey, guys. Well, I want to say first, you're both very inspirational. I love Peter talking about earlier that he knew when he was young he wanted to make money, and it didn't matter what he was going to do. He wasn't going to let anyone stand in his way. And just the fact that that's very inspirational. And also, being a creative director, I know about, I think, three creative directors. I have a video background, and it's not easy to become a creative director at all, Alvin. It's not something you walk into. You can't just sign up for it. You can't go to school for it. You have to have special gifts. You have to know everything. You have to be able to put things together. And I just love that.
A master of puzzles. I think you have to have been able to put puzzles together when you were a kid or something, right?
Yeah, I still play games.
I venture to say you have to know people really well. So you need to be able to see the inner, you need to be able to see the potential in people that they don't see in themselves and how that potential is going to interact with other people.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And so to that point, I wanted to ask both of you gentlemen, so are there creative components of what you do that you'd recommend that leaders and wannabe leaders embrace and adopt?
All right, so I think one of the most important things you have to embrace is not being fearful of failure. I don't know of any business person that's been successful that at some point in the time had something that may not have been successful. But the difference is the people who have risen, they just fail at a different, higher level. Mm-hmm. And really what I mean by that is each time if you learn, okay, next time when you make a mistake, it's going to be at a higher level. And so I never let fear come into me. I always say things are the way that they are. Mm-hmm. And so if you sit and sometimes you analyze it, that's when you get nervous. Just go and do it. You don't want analysis paralysis. You need to get in there, have your game plan, know that you're never going to get to the finish line, but each time you're going to get higher and higher and higher, and you know that's something that I think is important to understand.
Yeah, but the interesting part about that too, I think that you didn't say was that you have to be prepared.
Well,
you've got to be prepared. You need to do your homework. You need to make sure that you're good at what you do, right?
You do. And here's the other part, and not take things personally. I think the mentors who have really helped me weren't afraid to say what they wanted to, and so instead of looking at the messenger, I looked at the message and took it and realized in my own way, what could I take from that that would make me better and more prepared for the time? And so once you realize that none of us know it all,
right,
and that each day is an opportunity to learn more and to help other people, I think you're just become more well-around and can be more of service to people.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, Philip, what are you thinking? Are there creative components of what you do that you continually hear people say, "Boy, I wish I could do that." You know, how do you do that? I mean, you know, how do you get to that point? You know, you hear those components, and what are some of those things that you've been hearing that you've identified from your creative background and what you do daily? It comes easy to you, but that other leaders and wannabe leaders should figure out a way to embrace and adopt that.
The most important thing for me is I always try to learn something new. And when I learn it, I try to learn it with an open mind. If I go into a learning situation with a closed mind, then I don't have an opportunity to learn. And if I don't have an opportunity to learn, then that's a piece of a puzzle that, you know, I don't have access to. So for me, it's always going into a situation with an open mind, whether it be, you know, ice skating or, you know, dove shooting, whatever you want to call it.
Right?
It's just always trying to learn new things and new things that don't necessarily match up with each other.
Okay.
You know, I'm a fan of real estate, but I'm a fan of the military channel.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I can take things from all of those, and if you give me enough time, I can pair those two together, believe it or not.
And so, figure out a way to monetize it, too.
If you give me enough time to do it. So that's the challenge, but that's also the fun part of being creative. And I think that any leader, if they're whatever organization, whatever the size of their organization, they have to be creative. And but, you know, they have to be left and right brain. You know, within that, because I can be creative. Like if they came to our household, you know, they'd probably be talking, you know, his partner would be talking, Brian would be talking to me.
Right.
And you'd be talking to my wife. It'd be opposite because, you know, I'm the one that's all across the board. But, you know, I think that you have to be pragmatic in your creativity. And I think that most leaders of major organizations already know this. And it's something that I try to develop within myself every day. You know, I was terrible at math.
Okay.
But now, you know, I study calculus on my own.
Wow.
So it's...
Now, that's a first. I've never heard anybody ever tell me that they study calculus on their own.
But
I get that.
But you'll be surprised at how it helps you because you can... It's a predictive... It's a way to predict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so... you know, it just helps, you know, me in business to be able to do math.
Okay.
And
absolutely.
I'm not a math type of person, but now I have an open mind about it. Whereas before I'm like, I don't see how this can help me.
Yeah.
You know, whereas now I'm like, okay, I see how it can help me. I understand this stuff. So.
And it takes us a few years to get away from school sometimes to realize that, right?
Mm-hmm. Can I just, I want to add to one thing, because Brian and I get asked all the time, boy, we love to do what you guys do. We see on TV, you don't do that much, you make a lot of money. And, you know, it's really very interesting. And I always tell people, I'm a big tennis player, and Pete Sampras was my favorite player. And I said, look, you go, you watch, it looks so easy. Then you take that tennis racket, and you go out there, and you try to hit the ball. It's not quite that easy. And so people see 45 minutes of a show and think that they can go out and make $100,000, $150,000. And what I tell people is this. I have started businesses. I've been in businesses. There is no such thing as an easy way to make money.
Wow.
And so one thing you have to be prepared for is hard work and the ability to learn. So it does get easier. But if you think you're going to start at someplace easy, then I don't think you're prepared, you haven't done your homework, and really can't expect that payoff when you haven't paid your dues.
Interesting, interesting. Thoughts, Philip?
Absolutely. Hard work is definitely a part of it, a big part of it. Once you get past the and I tell everyone that I work with, the creative part is the fun part. But once you put it on paper and you've created it, now it becomes a black and white thing.
Mm-hmm.
The creativity is in color.
Mm-hmm.
But the pragmatic side is black and white. So, you know, from the ledgers to the execution to everything that goes into making this a reality, you need to be very clear about how you're going to get it there. So, and then you can reap the benefits once all of that has been executed. So I totally agree. Hard work is 100% a part of the equation. I know it's like something that everybody wants to hear, but that's what kind of separates. That's what separates people.
Right.
You know, how hard they're willing to work, and you know, you can kind of. I don't know. Hard work is a kind of tricky thing as well, though, because you can work really hard and not get anywhere.
Because you're not focused on the right thing.
Right. So you got to work smart within working hard as well. So you gotta have a little bit of both, because I could work hard, 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 hard. But if I'm doing dumb stuff, then it's not going to work out for me. So I think you have to do both.
Yeah. Well, that makes total sense. So, you know, I know that most of the things that you do, or at least a portion of the things you do, haven't been done before, mm-hmm. and you haven't done them before.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you've got to have a good idea of where you're trying to go. Then there's a lot of research behind the scenes before mm-hmm. the idea comes to life. Mm-hmm. Would you talk a little bit about that?
I am a research junkie.
Okay.
Especially since I'm a pioneer. And they say pioneers get slaughtered, right?
They take all the arrows.
So I'm trying to go into this this newfound land with as much ammunition and the best weapons possible. That's that military channel stuff. But I think that you know, you have to be prepared, as you said before, and you have to be willing to take risks, but calculated risks. So I'm a research junkie, and my wife says that I should go on Jeopardy because I just have this knowledge of just like everything, but not really a master of, you know, I'm not a CPA, but I can tell you what a credit and a debit is.
And you know when you're making money, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So,
so Peter, please talk a little bit about the role of innovation in leadership and in your mind, to what extent the feeling of empowerment, because that's typically a feeling. Someone has a confidence that they feel like they can move forward with, and how that innovation sparks the confidence to be able to then enable leaders and leadership and produce results.
One of the things I think that's so important in your journey is to find somebody who's going to be your mentor. And, you know, when you talked about the ability of working hard but maybe not doing it right, when you've got a mentor and somebody who's going to hold you accountable and responsible, I think that is so important. And most people I know who have moved up have had someone who has really taken them by the hand and taken that interest, given them enough rope to fail, but at the same time making sure they learn about it. And so I think, to me, innovation, when I'm talking about that, is really the ability and the aptitude to want to try new things, have a clear... Sometimes you don't have a picture of exactly what all the details are. Like, I never knew I was going to end up in real estate. I knew I was going to make money. And so the ability of the innovation sometimes is not knowing exactly what that end product is, but what some of the common goals are going to be. And then that openness lets you not be afraid or fearful of where you're going to go. None of us know, really, at some point, when we've got something new, what that's going to look like. But it's the process. It's about aligning yourself with good people, aligning yourself with someone who will keep you checked. Mm-hmm. And
keep it real.
Keep it real, because at the end of the day, I always say I don't want to be surrounded by yes people. That's not where the growth happens. The growth is when somebody looks at something different than you do, and that you go, huh, you hadn't thought about that. Now, let's make sure we end up in the right place. But if you're always doing it the same and don't even have the potential to look at things differently, then you're not going to be innovative at all.
So that potential, does that come from keeping an open mind, as Philip talked about earlier, too?
I think you have to keep an open mind, but you have to put your homework in. I think sometimes people make a mistake and go, they think somebody has it easy. Mm-hmm. And we all have stories. You know, and the quick story about me, people go, you end up on television. What they don't know was I was a sick child. I had 9 operations by the time I was 5. And at 5, I had an operation to get my hearing back. I went to a speech therapist for 7 years. Okay. And so when people say, oh, my God, you had easy, the difference between the people who have been successful is when they took things that could have made them a victim, looked at the opportunity, and used that as an impetus to do something bigger and better than they are.
Impressive. So with regard to that, Philip, what is your thought about the role of innovation in leadership and how that helps to empower people, give them the confidence to then really to make and get to a higher level of results?
I think that anyone that's successful is going to be perpetually innovative. They are going to look at a situation. They're going to look at a challenge and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just all innovation is. You know, what is the saying? I forget the saying. Let's not even go there. But at the end of the day, I think that if you're innovative, then you're automatically creative. And with those two things, you're going to preference leadership.
Okay.
And people are going to follow you because they know that you're going to figure it out.
Okay.
And people want to be behind people that's going to figure it out, as opposed to, you know, most people are like, what are we going to do next?
Yeah.
And, you know, as he said before, you have to find a mentor, and I call it modeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I find someone that I'm going to model myself after, and even in my personal or my business life, I look for strategic alliances. My wife is a good strategic partner for me. Mm-hmm. Damon John was a good strategic partner for me in regards to, you know, my business career. So, you know, I think that you have to find these role models and model them. and that's just basically it. And because these guys were innovators.
Okay.
You know, they set the standard and people follow them. So,
well, that's important. So I know that you're involved with the Global Soap Project, as you mentioned before. And, mm-hmm. of course, again, to reiterate what you said, full disclosure, obviously I am on the board of the Global Soap Project. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on currently with regard to the Global Soap Project?
Absolutely. You know, I was introduced to Global Soap Project through you.
Okay.
And when I heard it, within 1 minute, I got it. And I said, you know what? This is the nonprofit that I'm working with. I cold called Expedia and was able to get us to present at their partner conference in Las Vegas in December. That was a big step. So now we're currently working on an event for February 19th where I'm getting my boss, Damon John, to come in and speak on behalf of the Global Soap Project. And their focus on social entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. You know, another partnership and someone that's a company that's dear to us or college is Kennesaw State. I knew Kat Schwag, who was the dean of the business school over there, who introduced us together. And she's coming on board as a partner in this thing. We've got other great partners like Google, like Groupon. Atlanta Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Nothing small.
You know me. I'm going for the best as far as partnerships are concerned.
That's right.
And so we're doing this event on February 19th at Mason Muir Art Gallery. We expect anywhere from 400 to 500 people in attendance, and we're going to have a great event, and we're going to have a party too. Mm-hmm. So it is our introduction to the Atlanta community. And I call it Rock the Soap. And you can go and visit the website at rockthesoap.org. It'll give you a lot of information on the event, ways to attend the event. Meet me. I'm there signing autographs from. No, I'm just kidding.
That's important stuff, man.
I'm kidding there.
With that creative ink you have, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be rubbing off on people. No, I'm just kidding. But we'd love for everyone, you know, that's in the Atlanta area or going to be in the Atlanta area to come out and attend. We're very excited about it, and we hope to raise a lot of money for the foundation.
Yeah, it should be very fun. Mm-hmm. But before we get there, on February the 7th, we'll have Peter and Brian getting together, as you do every month, right?
First Thursday of every month.
First Thursday. Continue to tell us a little bit about that. Real Estate Connections.
Real Estate Connections, about 2.5 years ago, we created it. I had gone to a lot of networking events, and I wanted something that was centered in the real estate world. And so we created Real Estate Connections, and really I had two things that I wanted in our mission statement. The first was I wanted a positive attitude. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty energetic and positive person. I think that's one common characteristic of leaders is they always look at the glass half full instead of half empty and look for the opportunities, not for the problems. And secondly, I wanted to have kind of a shift where people didn't look at their competitors, but looked at how we can help one another.
Okay.
And so it's interesting, the last 2.5 years, we now get over a couple hundred people at the event.
Wow.
One thing I started to do last year that really helped was, since I speak at a lot of the real estate offices, every month I feature a different real estate location. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it creates new people at every event. You know, one of the things you've got to make sure is that you don't get complacent. Leaders don't get complacent because if you put on autopilot, it doesn't work. And so I work really hard to make sure that 25% of the room are new to the event. Mm. And so...
So I'll be part of that
25%. You're going to be part of that 25%. Yes, you will be. And so what I've done in this last year is I believe in diversity and making the tent bigger so that you can affect more people. And so two things that I've done is last year I picked up as a premium sponsor was NAREP, which is the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals.
Okay.
And right now I'm working on ARIA, which is the Asian Real Estate. Tim Herr has been the recent, in December, elected president.
And these are large groups, aren't they?
They are, yes. Okay. And so Tim came to the last event, wants to find out how he can get more involved. And what I found is the more groups you get, you start getting to meet more and more people and more involvement. And so Real Estate Connections is really realtors, banks and mortgage companies, real estate investors, entrepreneurs, attorneys. And they're really about making money and collaborating great ideas.
Oh, and that's vitally important. So you're expecting the same number that you normally get this coming Thursday?
Well, I think it's actually going to be more. I have pre-sold more tickets. Then the largest event we had was our two-year anniversary. We had over 300 people.
Wow.
Now I'm not expecting three, but it'd probably be at least 250. And you know you're doing well when now the bigger companies are calling me and wanting to know how they could become a sponsor of the event. So, you know, at first you're kind of making those phone calls, asking people. Now it's been great. I've picked up some really nice sponsors. But part of it is they're getting business out of it, and they understand that people who want to do business are there. And when I have some of the people tell me that half their business in the last 2 years have come from
that event, networking,
you start feeling great.
Yeah, and so I think that there's another indicator, too, is the reason why you're going to be doing so well on February the 7th from 6 to 9 p.m. is because you're on this show. And so we have like 2 million listeners worldwide, right, Kevin?
I thought it was 3 million. I was here yesterday, so between yesterday and today, I know that place is going to be packed.
Well, we probably grew a little bit more because we have great friends in Bucharest with our sister university, our CEBU. So, and they do give me the comments on our show. So obviously that's got to be what it is. And the Phillips here, too, so they know he's here. So that will exponentially drive your numbers, and Rocking the Soap will be a huge event too, just because you're here today.
Absolutely. You know, we couldn't make it happen without you, Al.
That's a scary thought. So we've been talking with Peter Pasternak, a CPA and a bottom-line businessman specializing in real estate, and Philip Boykin, the creative director of Shark Branding. He's a businessman who is an expert at what I call brainstorming, which is the creative, revenue-producing, big-scale efforts in which he brands under his creative umbrella, then develops strategic partnerships to bring those ideas to life, and a specialist in monetizing as well. So, gentlemen, as we start to wind down our interview today, what I wanted to do is make sure I got to one final question for our time together. And we're going to make your answer to this question available on our web posting. And so here we go. And we're actually going to have the video of it as well. So we'll start with you, Peter. So which book has most impacted your leadership ability?
That would be The Seven Levels of Communication by Michael Mayer.
Wow.
Now, are you asking me what that did?
Please tell me why.
First of all, it's a great book. It deals with leadership and networking and really the ability of taking the focus off yourself and on other people. And by helping other people, really on the back end, you end up getting it. A lot of people make the mistake of going and making all about themselves to begin with, and they can't form the alliances that they need to. And so when you're out there, I personally have a 3-to-1 ratio. And what that means is I'm trying to help at least 3 people before I try to get something for myself. Hmm. And when you take that focus off, you start listening more to people. You start seeing what their needs are and maybe how you can use them as a strategic alliance that if you didn't hear them, you may not even realize that they could be there for you.
And so you start to relate to people in a much different way.
Much different. And it's interesting because they talk about different types of people. As you're meeting people, you're going through your head and you start thinking about which category that they might fall into.
Interesting. So, Philip, we're going to turn the tide and turn the tables on you, sir. So, in your opinion, which book has most impacted your leadership ability?
48 Laws of Power, Robert Greene. I love that book. I love that book because my passion is philosophy, and I love psychology as well. And to be able to see people, identify those people very early on, mm-hmm. and learn, you know, and kind of know what to do in certain situations, it helps me with my decision-making skills. And so to be a good leader, I think that you have to be able to make sound decisions and not be able to sway from those decisions unless it's absolutely necessary. So for me, that book has helped me in business and in life. You know, a lot of people may say, hey, that's a rough book. But I think that the world is not a fair place. Mm-hmm. And so you have to really look at life for what it is. And I think that you'll be more of a credit to the people around you, you know, if you can make fair, sound decisions. So that's my book.
Fantastic. So on behalf of our learning community, we've learned a lot from you two gentlemen today, and we certainly appreciate you for accepting the invitation to join us. And sometimes this kind of thing happens on late notice, but that's the way business works, right?
Got to be prepared.
Got to be prepared and got to stay open. So I'd love to have you back on the show sometime in the future. Is that a deal?
It's a deal.
Deal.
Yeah, if you're not doing your own show, when it conflicts with my show.
We'll work that out.
You got to have sneakers in this candy bin here, man. Too many Three Musketeers.
Too many Three Musketeers. Yeah, we do need to add more. You know, that little candy bin used to have a little bit more in it, but I digress. Yeah. So with that in mind, gentlemen, could you tell me and tell our learning community how they can contact you, either by email or phone or both?
All right, for myself, Peter Pasternak, my email is peter@foundations, that's foundationsllc.com. You also can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn, and I can be reached at 404-275-8087.
All right, I'll make it simple. philip@sharkbranding.com, that's Philip with two L's at sharkbranding.com.
So that's all for this edition of Global Leader Radio, folks. And just want to let you know, we invite all our listeners to check our web presence for previous interviews and links to valuable leadership resources. And also, please drop me a line at acm0996@kennesaw.edu if you have any recommendations for guests. So for those of you interested in our award-winning Executive MBA program, please go to the EMBA icon on our Global Leader Radio site to connect to us and sign up for an information session. So join us again at this same location for the next edition of Global Leader Radio, the show that discusses ideas that matter with people who care. So have a great week.
Global Leader Radio is brought to you by the Executive MBA program at Kennesaw State University. Take charge of your personal development and professional career today by learning more at KSUEMBA.com. And join us next week as we discuss ideas that matter with people who care.